You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Verse 23 through 28, 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, verse 23 through 28. And this is Paul letting folks know all that he has had to go through, deal with, stand up under, forbear because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I saw a pastor who I know of in the state, and Pastor Marsh had mentioned something to me. I had heard that he was supposed to be the succeeding bishop of a particular denomination, and I had heard that he told the presiding bishop, no, you can have that back. And then I said, you know, it's a lot. You know, you're already pastoring your own church to take a whole nother organization. Then I looked on Facebook today. I saw he was preaching his final sermon at his church. Kind of young pastor, too, and relatively young. And the message was, it's about time. It's about time, said it. Deuces. It's about time. And I'm sure he's going on to do something else. Perhaps that the Lord's calling him to do what he wants to do, whatever. You know, ministry ain't all it's always cracked up to be. It can look fine from a distance. And let me also tell you this. My former pastor, when I was serving as assistant pastor, I would tell Pastor, I wouldn't do this. If I was you, I'd do this. He said, Herb, you don't know what you do. He said, it's so easy for you to talk as a second man about what you would do, he said, because you don't have to carry the weight of the responsibility that I carry. And so it made me see things from a different paradigm. And here in 2 Corinthians, Paul is telling the church who's really complaining about him or saying he's really not an apostle and questioning his motives in ministry and all that. And so he said, let me come down to your level for a moment and really tell you what I really go through. And 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, starting in verse 28, he starts talking about that. And I'm going to read it quickly from the New Living Translation. It says, are they servants of Christ? These people that we're comparing them to. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder. I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped without number. I faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I traveled on many long journeys. I faced dangers from rivers and robbers. I faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. I faced danger in cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I had the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. A day in the life of Apostle Paul. And so he's explaining to them all that he's gone through, all he's had to deal with, and the things that I have to deal with and fight off and still be concerned about the churches. And so I've called this juggling life, I can't handle it. Because sometimes that's how you feel. Paul says, we feel like I'm juggling life and I can't handle it. And I just said that to grab your attention because I'm going to show you how to handle it. Amen. So say, I can handle it. And so your life is going to rise or fall to what? To the level of your confession. If you confess, I can, I can, I can, then you can't. If you confess, I can, I can, I can, then you're going to be able to. And so, but many times we feel overwhelmed and life can be overwhelming at times. That's the truth. Sometimes life can be challenging and difficult. And so I said, don't try it without Jesus. Let me tell you again. Don't try life without Jesus. It's hard enough with Jesus. It's challenging enough with Jesus. You definitely don't want to try to do this without Jesus. Amen? So, and sometimes we haven't always told you the truth. I don't think sometimes those of us who preach the gospel give people the complete truth. And sometimes it's not because we're lying. It's because we, you know, we don't want to discourage people or turn people off. But Jesus told people the truth. Jesus said, a man come and said, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go, wherever you want to go. Jesus said, really? Well, let me tell you something. Birds have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. And he was there. He wasn't saying he doesn't have a house. That's how people preach it. He was saying, in this city where I am today, I don't know where I'm going to sleep. When you read it, they have rejected him in the city, and so he didn't know where he was going to stay. And then another place, when the woman comes to Jesus and says, Lord, grant that my sons can be on your left hand and on the right. One of them be your vice president, of them be the secretary of state or chief of staff or something. Jesus said, you don't even know what you're asking. He said, can you drink of the cup that I drink? So Jesus told people the truth. The rich young ruler who loved his riches. Jesus knew that anything you love more than him was going to be a challenge. I think some of us, we would come to him, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. He said, really? To follow me, that career may suffer. To follow me, your ambitions and what you plan or you might be hindered. To follow me, your timeline might get off. Because you plan on being here by this time and doing this by that, I'll mess up your schedule. And I think, so Jesus tells the rich young ruler, he says, go sell what you have first and then follow me. So sometimes we have to let people know, even callings and things that you say you want to do, that'll tell you the truth of what this is going to entail. Because some of us, we get disillusioned because we see the glory, but we don't know the story. We see the stuff we see on front of the stage, we don't see behind the stage. We're sitting in a nice, quiet, classical music playing dining room of the restaurant. And we don't see that back there. They're saying, hurry up, table in, what's wrong? What's up? Don't burn this. Then, see, we don't see all that's going on back there. We only see the front. And so you really need to understand that life, as Bishop Bailey would say, it ain't always going to be a bed of roses. But you can make it. God's grace is sufficient. And stuff is going to happen. I think one of the greatest disillusionments for a lot of so people call themselves faith people. At one point, faith was being taught like faith is to help you just get things and prevent things. Think about that. Some people think faith is just so you can get. Use my faith to get a car, get a house. And I use my faith to prevent. This ain't going to happen to me because I'm a believer. And sometimes faith is not, is going to, you got to use your faith not to obtain and use your faith not to prevent. Sometimes you got to use your faith to go through. Sometimes your faith, the best thing about your faith, it keeps you standing. Glory to God. Come on, anybody here just thank God you still standing? Despite all you've been through, all the attacks that have come your way against your marriage, against your children, against whatever. One of the things that saddens me is I see young couples today who just, in marriage, just seem like can't go through anything. And the truth of the matter is, everybody who's been married a long time can't give y'all all the details of stuff that they've been through because y'all be looking at them crazy. You still together? Yes. Yes. You think it's been 40 years of just, oh, honey, I just love you so much. No, 40 years, you done had, see, when you first couple years, you found out that there's days you don't like each other. You've been married 40 years, you realize there was weeks and months where I didn't like you. But we made it through. Amen. So don't try it without Jesus. Jesus said in John 16:33, I've spoken unto you, John 16:33, these things I've spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Jesus told the truth. In me you have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation. So watch this. So while you're going, while you're in the world, you need to be in me. Let me read that again. These things I've spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So while you're going through the tribulation and trouble that's in the world, make sure you stay in me. If any man abide in me and let my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will. That's John 15. So while you're going through whatever you're going through, abide in Jesus. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come nigh you. I wish I could tell you the secret place was an address. I wish I could tell you the secret place was a particular house or a particular church. The secret place is a place of faith in God. Oh, my God. The secret place is a place of faith in God. And every day you got to get up saying, I'm going to the secret place. When I go out, I'm going to dwell in the secret place. No matter what comes at me, I'm going to dwell in the secret place. So I can be of good cheer because Jesus has overcome the world. So we got to live in this earth realm where at the same time we saw Romans 12 and 5, you got to rejoice with them that rejoice and weeping with those that weep. So you got to deal with the dichotomy of emotions and different things, things that make you sad, things that make you happy. And you got to juggle these things, but you can make it. You have what it takes. Amen. And then we start giving some real practical steps about how to handle things. You know, juggling life. I said this today at noon, and that is God can only, let's catch this now. God can only bless you and increase you to the degree that you can juggle things. Okay, God can only bless you and increase you to the degree that you can juggle things or what I'm saying, handle multiple things. One of the things I found out when I was working for Cigna, I got my big old promotion to come here and manage the claim office, and I was so excited. You know, I went back and found the book because I was reading it when I got fired, and then I lost it. It was called The First Time Manager, and I've gone back and read it since. It's a very good book, and it's updated now, but it came out probably then. That was in the 90s. But one of the things I found out about first-time managers or first-time supervisors, you're so excited to get this position, you know, to be promoted and be recognized and be over people. But one of the things that many times people don't realize is that when you are promoted into management, supervision, whatever the level hierarchy are, is now you're responsible for not only your work, but somebody else's work. And that can be the most eye-opening thing because you realize when you get in supervision and management, there's a whole lot of trifling people who work for these companies. You have no idea people with such low performance. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? And you got to understand, you got promoted because you weren't that kind of person. So because you weren't that person, you didn't have such a low standard, and you weren't trifling. You just assume everybody work here got the same type of work ethic that you do. And then you get in supervision, you realize, wow, really? How have you worked here this long? And one of the first things you do when you get in supervision management, you want to fire everybody. Then my manager had to tell me, listen, Herb, you can't fire everybody. Because his work still got to be done. So when they ain't there, you still got to get it done. Oh, when I was 17 years old, my senior year of high school, I needed money. And so I got a job. My mother told me, she worked nights. She told me I shouldn't get the job, but I needed money. And I worked at the Sheridan Hotel in the Meadowlands. Meadowlands, back then, that's where Giant Stadium was and all that. And so I worked from 5 to 2 in the morning. As a dishwasher, okay? As a dishwasher at a restaurant and a hotel. At 5-2, and then I had to be in school next morning. Anyway, it was crazy. It lasted for about a month. That's all. But I didn't quit. I got fired. My first time I got fired. And so we were in the kitchen in the restaurant, and they had the soda vending machine. We kept drinking sodas. And our supervisor kept saying, you gotta wash these dishes. He's gonna pick up. We're like, we're gonna get to him. And then it was like, I think like five of us. He came and said, all of you are fired. All of you are fired. By then, the teachers really, and we said, can we just stay here and watch you do these dishes? Since I want to quit anyway. You just help me. But our whole thing, can we just stay here and just watch you do all these dishes by yourself since you followed firing us? You can't fire anybody. Sometimes you got to work with people. Amen? And so you get promoted. Now you understand. Now you got to juggle your work and somebody else's work. God can only bless you and promote you to the degree you're able to juggle. You got to be able to handle more for God to give you more. To whom much is given, much is required. Example here in Matthew 25 about the talents. One had five, one had two, one had one. He gave them to him based upon their severability. He gave the person five because he had demonstrated that he could handle five. He gave the one two because he had demonstrated he could handle two. He gave the one because I'm just giving you a chance. See if you can do anything. And so he blessed them according to their severability. And so a lot of us, we want promotion, but you complain when you get more. You can't run every time something demands more of you. You'd be surprised on people that as soon as they get something demands more, they want to quit. Well, you're not going to, you can't be promoted if you can't handle more. Are y'all listening to me? You got to be able to juggle. And if God gives you a bigger business, God gives you a bigger family. Okay. Now I said this last night we were on doing our clubhouse and I told Minister Jamal, Minister Davis, I said, y'all take the lead. I'm going to be on there with you. I said, but I didn't feel like studying, preparing something, whatever. I said, they take the lead. And so they sent me a lesson. We're going to talk about on clubhouse. And it said, balancing ministry and family. To balancing parenting, what? Parenting and marriage. Balancing parenting and marriage. And so, as soon as I saw, and so the host of Bailey's and the Warnocks, we have four kids. They have five kids, and he got two kids. And so I look at the subject, balancing parenting and marriage. I'm like, what you talking about? That's why I wanted to, I didn't say that, but we just went on. I'm telling y'all now. What you talking about? You got two kids. Ain't nothing to balance. Each of you get one. What's the balance? Now, when you want to talk to, I had four kids. I remember when we had four kids, I met Akintunde, and he said, we got five. I said, whoa, that's only one more than we had, but well, I know. Okay? The more you get, the more you got to be able to balance. Amen. People think, I heard someone say that Craig Rochelle, who's over Global Leadership, that one really want to invite all of y'all to participate in. You'll see an announcement about that. You got up to May 3rd to try to get the reduced rate. We'll be hosting it in August. But he said this. He said, people say, well, isn't a big church just a little church bigger? A big church is just same thing as a little church, just bigger. He said, no, that doesn't even make sense. That's like saying a big family is same as a small family, just bigger. No. You have one child, you can still be cute in your two-door sports car. Get four. Your cute sports car days are over. Who was it? Was my son? I think Daniel was one time. I said, just go and get a van. I ain't getting no van. I'm not getting a van. Get four kids. We need a van. Okay? Things change. Your transportation got to change. Insurance changes. So much changes when things grow. And a lot of us, we want things to grow, but we expect things, the load to stay the same. That's impossible. Whether we're talking about ministry, more members, whether we're talking about your business, more clients, whether we're talking about your service industry, more customers, you're going to have to juggle and handle things if God's going to bless you with more. So you can pray all day long, Lord, enlarge my territory. Okay? Then what you really need to be praying, Lord, increase my capacity to juggle. That's in that prayer. Because with more demands more. One scripture says, when riches increase, so are they that eat thereof. In other words, it's going to demand more of you. Okay, I can talk. Yeah, see, I know y'all, you can hear stuff. And you see my little posts about me riding on my boat and all this kind of stuff. And so last year I've had a boat now for the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years. Okay, so this is like my third boat. So my family has increased now, and I have more grandchildren. And so when they come over, I got a van boat now. I got a van boat now. I used to have a ski boat. Go back, and Pastor Marcy be holding on like, oh Lord. She always envisioned having a book, reading the book. Now I got a boat that she can read a book on. It's a flat boat. It'll get up there eventually. You know, it'll get to 40 eventually. Okay? But I ain't no more than air. And so I got this boat for my family and to more people can get on and be comfortable without the boat leaning back and all that. And so I've always had what they call an inboard. The motor is in the boat. Okay, now the motor's on the back of the boat. So I got my taxes for the boat. That was already significant. And then I got another one, this other tax for like $3,000 for the motor. I said, hold on here. I call up the boat man. I said, the motor come with the boat, right? I said, is this a mistake? He said, Pastor Betty, you never had a tri-tune. He said, this is the outboard. The boat and the motor is considered separate. I have a whole separate VIN number just for my motor. The boat taxes was like $2,000. And my motor taxes was like $3,000. Now, that look real nice until you get that $3,000 tax bill. Then I'm like, you need to take your boat back. I happened to see my boat last week on the water. I saw a guy riding my old boat. I beat the horn at you. Got a horn on the boat. I beat the horn. I said, hey, he looked at me. I said, how's that boat treating you? I'm missing my boat right about now. Okay? So you want more, but more responsibility comes with it. Just accept that. Bigger house, bigger tax bill. Luxury car, no more unleaded gas. I mean, no more regular gas. Oh, y'all know that. Yeah. You can't be getting it to them. I don't care what they say. I'm going to put my regular unleaded in here. And you're going to be riding around that car be going, bing, bong, bing. You know what I'm saying? You got the wrong gas in me. More comes with increase. Everybody say, Lord, give me the grace to juggle increase. Amen. All right. So the tips we gave you. Number one, we said if you're going to juggle what you have to juggle, number one, understand certain things are part of human experience, right? In other words, don't be super deep about everything. Some things is not the devil. Some things is just part of being a human, part of being in a fallen world. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation takes us, but it's such as common to man. Common to man means it's part of the human experience. And sometimes we have to accept that, y'all. Something just part of the human experience. All of us, if you live long enough, you're going to have a family member die. Amen? That ain't a negative confession. Okay? And just by the natural course of events, even if they live the fullness of the years that are promised, 120 years, somebody's going to die. The pain of losing a loved one is part of the human experience. It's not the devil attacking you. It's not the devil trying to steal your joy. Oh, come on now. It's part of the human experience. Now, of course, when tragedy comes, we experience things quicker than we thought we had to experience. Or when people things happen younger, you know, Harry Belafonte died yesterday, right? 96. No news report said, "Oh, poor Harry Belafonte. Oh, it's just so sad." People just going on, "Harry Belafonte died." Know why? Because 96. Okay? And the interesting thing about that, my grandmother, Nana, died 10 years ago or so at 92. Interesting because she was the oldest person I personally ever knew. And I used to say, "Nana, you gotta keep on living." I said, "Because the longer you live, the longer I can live." Because, you know, just by statistics. You know, people ask, "Well, how long people live in your family?" I want to be able to say, my grandmother lived 100. Okay? And so And I remember gotten to the point where it's almost like I expected her to pass. And so I thought because she was old, I thought it wouldn't sting me. I was shocked by it. Really, I'll be honest. I thought, she's old, it ain't gonna really sting you. It still stung me. And being stung by death with grief is part of the human experience. I'm saying this because there's certain things you just got to be prepared to go through. And it shouldn't stop you from ever coming to church again because somebody died. Don't y'all get mad at me. It should make you mad at God because somebody died. It's part of the human experience. Again, it can shock us. But some people, they go, "Oh, I just never expected this to happen." You didn't expect to happen now. Amen? Something's part of human experience. Let's move on. Number two, so you got to realize that. Number two, he says, stop trying to carry everything yourself. Which means we have to do what 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, which what? Cast all our care on the Lord, for he careth for you. And that word care, so watch it. Cast all your care, everything you're carrying on the Lord, because he careth, or he will carry it for you. One of the old hymns of the church said, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." So you're carrying things that we need to give over on him. So stop carrying everything yourself. One thing we said last week is that God cares about what you care about. If you're carrying it, God said, "I want to carry it for you." You know, they used to show years ago, and they still did when I was a little boy in school. You know, if you like the girl, you ask her, you can carry her books. Kids don't carry books now. Okay. So he said, "You know, can I walk with you? Can I carry your books?" Okay. God want to carry your books. He loves you like that. He said, "You carrying stuff. I want to show you how much I love you. I want to carry it for you." Number three. And how do we cast? We cast it in prayer. So people say, "Well, I'm cast on the Lord," but you haven't prayed about it. If you haven't prayed about it, you haven't released it. You release things and cast things on the Lord in prayer. Philippians 4 and 6, and by the way, 1 Peter 5 and 7 tells us to cast all our care. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." Supplication means definite requests. Particular, specific request. "By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And how you know you really cast it on to him is that something's supposed to happen internally, which is verse 7, "And the peace of God."
If you love our podcast and the impartation you gain from it, we encourage you to become an iChurch member. As an iChurch member, you'll get access to exclusive digital content, as well as an online community and various small group sessions. To find out more, visit rdci.info/iChurch. Connect with us for digital impartation weekly. Join Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marsha Bailey on Clubhouse for Marriage, Faith, and Family Inside Kingdom Business Network on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/RDCITV. We stream live services on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as well as Wednesday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies, join us for Manifest on Fridays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time.